Dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for all you're doing in our lives, all you're doing in our land. We don't take it for granted. We recognize that it is your mercy that we have obtained. And so we come to worship you for your faithfulness. As we come to go into the word this morning, Lord, I come as one under authority. I don't come by myself. I don't come presumptuously. I submit myself under the covering of my fathers and under the Lord Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of our souls. I ask for fresh mercy, fresh unction from your throne to help my infirmities, that I will bring forth this word this morning as a word of life in humility. Let it come forth with purity and in power, in clarity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. Let it accomplish an eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, causing our wills to be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with revelation insight from the Holy Spirit, our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit, so we can be doers of the things that we hear and not hearers only, in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Lord, under covering, let yokes be broken. Let blind eyes be open. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones. Give us in. Let the veil be torn and removed. So we'll arise and we will shine with more of the light of your glory, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I submit myself to you. Lead me by the hand. I need you. Lord, as I go, I acknowledge you in all of my ways. Direct my thoughts and my steps. And I will speak as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, redeeming the time, having mercy to be faithful. So Lord God, I will bring forth out of the treasure of this world things new and old, causing your name to be glorified and my brethren to be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great privilege to be in the house of the Lord once again. And I want to give honor to my fathers, pastor and mommy. I thank God for fathers like them. Amen. And every day I thank God, because more and more I realize and recognize that I owe them my life. And I want to say a big thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your prayers. And thank you for your patience and long-suffering that is transforming us and causing Christ to increase in our lives. We're so grateful. So going to the word this morning, we are in the book of 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4 now. Last week, last time we were here, we're in chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, and then chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we learned two vital commands. I just want to summarize it. We learned two vital commandments. The first commandment was the commandment of walking in the Spirit, and the second commandment was the commandment of walking in love. Those are the two commandments we learned about. And we found out that one leads to the other. You walk in the Spirit to be able to walk in love. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says, this book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, you're out of your heart, but thou shalt meditate upon day and night. Walk in the Spirit, that thou mayest observe to do, walk in love, all that God has commanded you. Then you make your way prosperous and you have good success. So this was what we learned, and we found out that walking in the Spirit really is allowing God's thoughts, God to use your thoughts to reflect his thoughts, use your words to reflect his word, okay, and then use your actions to mirror his own actions. So he's expressing himself through us. That's walking in the Spirit. So we don't gratify the flesh, we represent and live out the life of the Spirit. That's the will of God for us, amen? And it's the path that Jesus walked in to receive his inheritance. The Bible says that, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, walking in the Spirit. So it was through the Spirit Jesus offered himself. The same way we also have to offer ourselves. We offer ourselves to God. Then God takes your offering, and that's a privilege. Amen. He takes the offering and uses it for his glory. Amen. And that's what we're going to do in Jesus' name, by God's grace. So we saw that as men are led by the Spirit, so we have to walk in the Spirit. It's the initiative is ours. We have to put ourselves in the way of life, and then God leads us. God is a gentleman. He does not force. So if you don't put yourself in the way, he will not going to make you do anything against your will. It's a free will offering. Amen. All right. So we walk in Spirit basically by watching and praying. We saw that, and what we watch by really frequently. And that's the key here, because we know these things already, but the emphasis of the Spirit is to do it frequently and fervently. So we frequently and fervently acknowledge God with thanksgiving, you know, for ever so frequently during the day. So we stay in close contact with Him. When we acknowledge Him for mercy, to enable us to walk in love, to be obedient. As we do these things, we then back it with prayer. So that's watching. Then praying is receiving life and praying in the Spirit. Amen. So the life part there is very important, because life is the fuel for the intercession. You know, it's the fuel that makes the intercession effect. So that way, we release the power of God. Look at Mark 13, verse 35 and 36. Mark 13, very quickly, this is just a recap. All right. Watch ye therefore. That's the instruction. So it's the command. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. That's the good man of the house. That's the Lord. At even, or at midnight, or at cockcrowing, or in the morning, four times a day. So every 6 hours. So the frequency which we watch is also stipulated in the word. Amen. All right. Look, verse 36. And this is the key. This is what we don't want. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. We will not be sleeping in Jesus' name. Peter was sleeping. He didn't want to deny God, but he was sleeping. And because he was sleeping, he could not. All right. So, but that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Okay. So we see that frequency is there. You know, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in every temptation. It's Mark 26. You know, verse 14. But we don't have time to go. We did all that the last time. So we just a brief recap, so we can understand what we're doing. So the essence is that we strengthen our wills. We strengthen our minds. We enlighten it. We strengthen our emotions so that we can respond to God. That's the importance of walking in spirit. No, so that when God comes knocking, we are alert, we are awake, we open to Him. So we know His will, we respond to His will. And that's very important. So that's what walking in spirit is all about. All right. And we saw a very good example in the Lord Jesus Christ. When He heard the news in John 11 about Lazarus being ill, the Bible says that He abode there 2 extra days. He didn't respond to emotion. He didn't respond to need. He responded to the Spirit. And we also need to learn to begin to live like that. We respond to the Spirit. We acknowledge the Lord in all of our ways, and He directs our steps. Now, the second commandment is one of love. Look at Mark 12, 30 and 31. Again, it's a commandment, so it's very important. So these are things we should be doing as Christians. Amen. John, no, that's not what I said. I said Mark 12, 30. Yes. And thou shalt, let's read together. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart. A little bit more of thy heart. Most of the heart. This is the key. With all thy heart. And with all thy soul. And with all thy mind. And with all thy... It's very specific. Said, this is the first commandment. Next one. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other greater than these. So this is the fulfilling of the law. It's more than paying tithe. It's more than paying offering. Now you should do that. But the emphasis is on this one. It's the weightier matter of the law. And that's what God is saying. So when you put things in the right perspective, you find out that God is the designer. He is the manufacturer. When you do it God's way, you get God's results. When you change anything with the way God puts it, then you start having difficulty. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we see, what is divine love? It is discerning by wisdom. Pastor has taught us so well. Discerning by wisdom, desiring by compassion, doing by power what God will do in every situation. All right, so and that's the love of God, and we grow in love. So he was commanding us to increase and abound. You can't get to a point where you say, the love I walked in is enough. You're supposed to be increasing and abounding in the love. The Bible says so in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, if these things be in you abound, they make you. God wants to make you into His image, unblameable in holiness, and it's by the love of God increasing and abounding. There is no place we get to where we say our love is enough. Love is the key. Amen? And we see that love grows maximally under covering of spiritual fathers that practice it, that teach it, and then that pray for you to come into it. Amen? It's very important. They live it. They teach it, and then they pray. And those 3 days, that's why they are rare. 1 in 1,000. They are able to bring you into your inheritance because of where they are coming from. You know, they've been there. Where they've been there, they've come out of it, they've lived it, they are far ahead, they are teaching you, and then they are praying to make sure that you do not fail. Amen. No, thank you, my little children. Now let's look at it. Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 54 and 55. Okay. Luke 9, 54 and 55. Just see what Jesus did for his disciples. And when these disciples, James and John, saw this, when they saw that the people did not accept Jesus, they said, "Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from him and consume them, even as Elijah did?" This is they were misapplying scripture. You know, there's a book that called fire down. It's because they don't have fathers. Call fire down. They don't have real, true fathers. Look at the next verse. "But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirit you are of. You need people to that you can see that are living out the Christ life to follow after.'" Amen. The theory of the word of God is not good enough. If we did not need fathers, God would not make it mandatory. Joshua had a Moses. Elisha had an Elijah. You've got pastor and mommy. Amen. All right. So you can say, so they rebuke. I don't know when last they rebuked you. It's a good sign when they rebuke you. Amen. So you can be a partaker of the righteousness of God, the love of God, the character of God. Amen. So we saw that. All right. And we see that the love of God, initially, it constrains us. Because it's a straight, and in the Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. Now, there's a broad gate and a wide and easy road. And it's like, why is our own? We're all Christians. We are all Christians, but we're not all going to the same place. It's about the end. Amen? The destination is not necessarily the same. Some people are destined, it's based on the choices of the heart. So when you choose that narrow gate, the love of Christ constrains you. You have to fit it in. So you have to remove things that are unnecessary so I can pass through that gate. So it constrains. But as you walk in it and it increases and abounds, guess what? It consumes us, like mommy teaches us. See, it consumes us to the point where the Bible now says that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The ownership, the mark and the stamp by which we know that you are a truly child of God is that we must see the Spirit of Christ upon you. So that's why that Christ must increase. The love must increase. So it goes from a duty to a discipline, and then it becomes a delight. Amen? Alright? And then that gives us access. That love that we walk in, we get to a point where the Bible says it makes you and it gives you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom. So that it gives us an entrance into the kingdom. That same love brings pleasure to the Father. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That same love is the name of the Lord that is a strong tower in which the righteous ones do and he's saved. That same love is the one that brings answer to your prayer. Love is everything. It's everything. If you understand it properly, it's not, you're not being mono. You are doing everything. Amen. Alright? So of course it connects us with the helpers of our destiny. So we now go and we take it from verse 3 up to verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Verse 3 to verse 8. Let's read it. Verse 3. Thank you. Let's read together, brother. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should" what? "Abstain from fornication." Next verse. "That every one of you should know how," there's the know-how, "to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Next verse. "Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Concupiscence is a big word. It just means strong sensual pleasures. Okay, not necessarily sexual, sensual. The things that appeal to the senses. You know, that appeal, the lust of the eyes, the what I like, you know, my reputation, my ambition, you know, my desires. That's concupiscence. Alright? Strong. It's not just only a strong desire, okay? Even as the Gentiles, we know not God. Next verse. "That no man go beyond," you're not reading with me again, "that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter." So there's a boundary. And if you don't walk in love properly, you will go beyond.
and you defraud. To defraud is to obtain illegally by deception. Is to obtain illegally. So you can opt. If you allow yourself to be deceived, then you yourself become a deceiver. Amen. Because even though you don't know it, but you are being deceived. So that will not use us in Jesus' name. Amen. But that's why God is teaching us that we should not go beyond and defraud our brother in any matter. So he's talking about sexual issues, but and in particular he's talking about all sin. It's common to all sin. It's going beyond the boundary of love. Because the Lord is the what? Avenger of us. It means that God's going to he's going to come back and bring vengeance. Go take vengeance on what you're doing. You can't just say sorry and sorry is accepted. No problem. You're not going to hell. But there'll be consequence. And that's why we need to fear God. So we understand that it's not personal. It's just principle. So when you know the kind of person you're serving, then you shape up. Amen. That's the will of God for us. As we have also forewarned you and testified. So then, this God we serve is not like that. It's not like that. Next verse. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Holiness. Next verse. So holiness is your nature. He therefore that despiseth not man, talking about rebellion, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. What's he saying in a nutshell? He's saying in a nutshell that God has given you and I everything we need to be holy as he is holy. Amen. And therefore, if you live at the standard of holiness that God has set, you will have no problem overcoming sexual immorality. Why is it important? Because sexual immorality is a big issue. In the sense that David, whom we are patterned after, amen, had an issue with sexual immorality. We are of the tabernacle of David. Okay, so it's something, it doesn't mean that we have the same problem. No, it just means that we need to watch out for it. If David was the man after God's own heart, and know that he observed to do all of God's own will, and it got him down, then you and I need to be careful. That's what God is saying. We just need to be very careful. Don't take it for granted. Don't say, Pastor, you don't know me. when I pray. Bible says, many strong men. So God is saying that we need to be careful. That's in a nutshell. Now, in detail, what is sanctification? Sanctification is the process of becoming holy. And the scripture says that it is the will of God for every born-again child of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. How many of us are dearly beloved? Let me see your hand. Don't exclude yourself. You are dearly beloved. Amen. Alright. Let us what? Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness. Where? In the fear of God. So it is the will of God for us to be holy. We can cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit and perfect holiness. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He says in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit. You have no reason not to be able to do it. Everything you need, the word of God is there, the name of God is there, the life of God is there, everything is there that we need to be able to perfect the holiness. That's what he said. So with this sanctification is an internal process that operates by faith. Okay, so it operates by faith, and when we operate the process, we activate spiritual law. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Verse 1 and 2, quickly, thank you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are where? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after this flesh, but after the that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Next verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free. Let's say, made me free. One more time, made me free. One more time, made me free. From the law of sin and death. So we're free. Legally, now we have to work it out vitally. Amen. Now that's the will of God. So how do we do it vitally? We operate this obedience. This is the law of the Spirit of life. So life is an integral part of that law. Life is the substance itself that makes God God. And God gives it to us through promises that he was talking about in 2 Corinthians, that having therefore these promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, the same promises. You can receive the life of God into your spirit. And you can pump it out with force in travail. And it will set you free from the law of sin and death. That's what he's saying. That's what he said. Look at Matthew 11 verse 12. Brethren, this is very important. It's not things we don't know, but the Holy Spirit is emphasizing. So from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven, love. That's dominion. The entire total dominion of the spirit, soul, and body with the love of God suffers violence. And the violent take it by force. You have to take it by force. Generate the force. Release the force. By the help of the Holy Spirit, through the life of God, in faith. And when you do that, you flush, you crucify the flesh, you kill it. Your Bible says, mortify your members upon the earth. You kill it. So it's inactive, but it's still there. Then you flush it out. Why would you not be holy? Because they're doing it the way God said. Amen. Thank you. Oh, let's read the Amplified. Thank you. Amplified, quickly. From the days, give me the Amplified. From the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. It's allowed. And violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom of divine love is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion to generate the force. It's like the jet in a car wash. I don't care where your car's gone. I know the dog has been there for days. It's caked. Drive it to the car wash. A good one. They bring out the hose. It's got the water comes out like a jet. The guy sits down where he is and points the jet at the caked mud. It will just dislodge because of the force of the power of the water. The Bible talks about the washing of water. By the way, Ephesians chapter 5, 25. We need to see it because it's a Bible study. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at it. This is what God has done for us, brethren. There's no reason. 25. Matthew chapter 5, 25 and 26. I beg your pardon. Ephesians 5. 5, 25 and 26. You are getting into my head. Lord have mercy. Amen. All right. Ephesians 5. Okay. Well. Thank you. All right. Yes. Thank you. Husbands, love your wives, not because love your church, and give yourself in 26. That he might what? Sanctify. This is Jesus doing to the church. And cleanse it with the washing of water, the life of God, by the word. That's the sponge. The word is the sponge, the water is the life. And he cleanses it. Next verse. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having what? Spot. Or wrinkle, or any such, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. Holiness is your nature. God has done it legally and he's made the arrangement vitally. There is no reason why the least of us is holy. Amen. I say the least of us is holy. Amen. That's who you are. That's your identity. Amen. And it's very important. The Bible says, he that believeth on me, as the Spirit says, out of his belly shall flow rivers, not one river. Rivers of living water. May God open our eyes so we see by faith what's good. That's why he makes you sleep during prayer. He will tell you, lie on the bed and pray. That's his plan now. But when you lie on the bed, you know, you will not pray as well as you. Sit up, stand up, and pray and generate the force to flush it out. Amen. And so when you do that, you cleanse out the residual sin nature from the soul and the body. And that way you form Christ in your soul. Because when you remove the sin, Christ is formed in his place. Look at Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Amen. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. Thank you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed. So Christ is born in us. Then Christ is formed in us. And then Christ is manifest in us. See, so we need to keep forming. With each act of prayer, you're forming. You're forming the Christ. You're forming the Christ. And this process is most efficient under covering of spiritual fathers.
It's very important, okay, that we need to understand that. No, you can do it by yourself, but you need the power of God. That water coming out of the hose is the force of the jet that really makes it. If you take ordinary water and use the you are pouring water, how long will you be there? This is hard, though. The mud is not removing because you're not doing it the way he said, under covering. You need to run, look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Exodus 17, quickly, verse 10 and 11. Okay, right. And Joshua did as Moses said unto him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, not in the same location. The fathers were on the top of the hill. Joshua was on the ground floor. Amalek is the type of the flesh. Next verse. And it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he laid down his hand, Amalek prevailed. What Moses did or did not do affected what Joshua was doing. No matter what Joshua was doing. It was what Moses was doing that was helping Joshua. Next verse. But Moses' hands were heavy. So that's why we need Aaron's and all. And they took a stone and put it under him. And he sat there and rest. And Aaron and all stayed up his hands, the one on the side, on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Look at the effect. Next verse, verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek with his people with the edge of the sword. The victory in our lives is dependent on the fathers and their prayers for us. Amen. Look at the next verse. And God made each one to entrench it. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Joshua, are you listening? God is rehearsing it in your ears that I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Next verse, verse 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of the altar Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. You understand? The banner is from covering. Is from covering. And God says that is an eternal law. Next verse. And for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation. You know what? For God to say that he will have war with Amalek, it means that God will not tolerate sin. He will not tolerate the flesh. It means that holiness is your right. From generation to... We must teach our generation that, look, sweetheart, God is going to have Amalek with the, going to have war with Amalek. Teach our children that yes, look, you must not accept Amalek. You must not make a pact with Amalek. You are against each other because God said he will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. It's a perpetual law, a perpetual war. We were born into a war. Let our children know. Like I said, there was a film we watched the other day, Rob Roy. No quarters asked, no quarters given. I'm not asking for Satan's mercy, he doesn't even have. And I'm not going to show him mercy. Flush it out. Remove the sin. God is the manufacturer. He's the one that we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. Created unto good works. Your experience does not define what happens. It is what God said that defines what happens. God said, you can do it. You know, if I stay here now, my office, and I have one of these new cars, outside, and I'm here with the transponder, and I'm packing my things, I can, from the second floor of my office, I can press down the car, I can press my hand towards the direction of where my car is parked, and press the transponder, and my engine will start. Can you explain that somebody who's driving horse, that the engine can start when you are in your office? You ready and the AC is on and you are waiting for it. So just when you just come in, just enter and just sit down and you drive it. You can't understand. That's the way the car was made. It's because that's the way the car was made. It was not made like that. This one where you have to couple the horse to the carriage and be pulling. It's not like that. It's just about how it was made, the model. The windows, you don't use hand to wind. You just press a button, it goes down. There are even cars now, thank you, that have no driver. Just sit down and be doing your work on your computer and stick it to your destination. How is the way it was made? This is the way we are made, brethren. We are made to be holy.
Satan says it's too high. It's unbelief. Reject it in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, no, when God was going in Numbers 18, can't turn there for time, Numbers 18, verse 20. When God was going to, in Israel, when God said, all the children of Israel, be my people. They said, let Moses go. So, eventually, God said, the firstborn. After a while, God said, okay, give me the Levites. The Levites will be my inheritance. I will be their inheritance. Everybody else has land. They have cattle. They have portion. The Levites, they have me. We are a Levite company, brethren. Pastor shared that with us in one of our daily remas, like almost like a week ago. We are a Levite tithe company. We are the ones that sanctify the rest of Israel. Amen. You cannot live like the world. You cannot use their standard. You cannot use their experience. No, so when they say that virginity does not mean anything, that's them. But you are a Levite. You must understand. The Lord is your inheritance. Now, it may look as if you don't have anything tangible, but you must appreciate and understand that you have everything. Because if you have the Lord, you have everything. The Lord is your inheritance. You have everything. The person who has this and that, you know, because if you don't understand, you'll be saying, oh, even the Levites, they didn't stay with it. They didn't stay with it. How many Levites entered the promised land? Huh? Moses and Joshua. Joshua and Caleb. Were they from Levi? It's a free will offering. Whosoever will believe, brethren, we must believe that God has made us and set us apart unto himself. He is our inheritance. We are his inheritance. Amen. And we live like it. The Bible knows that when we join people together and marry, we know there's a place where we say, you know, that when you got born again, you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We say it. Then you say, you are his, he is yours, you are together with him. You are joined to him. You and he are one. You are joint heir with him. You must value that above every other thing. Otherwise, you will leave your inheritance and go back and go and be serving, like the prodigal son. Left his father's house and was going to go and serve. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we accept the will of God and we live by it. Okay? Now, fornication. The Bible says that we should not live in fornication. Look at verse 4. Okay? Fornication is both physical and spiritual. The physical part of fornication is the part that we're very familiar with. Okay? That's the act of sleeping with a man or woman who is not your wife, you know, or your husband. Okay? But really, fornication, you cannot have physical fornication without spiritual fornication first occurring. So the key here is to understand spiritual fornication and prevent it so that physical fornication is a walkover. You don't even have to worry about it. It's far from you. That's the way the designer made it. Better say you're looking at me. It's true. Look at 1 John chapter 2, okay, verse 15 and 16. Fornication. Yes, we should abstain. Bible says abstain from fornication. And fornication is wrecking homes, you know, wrecking the church, you know, wrecking nations, wrecking society. It's not just sleeping. There are different forms and variants. Just like Satan does not stay in one place, he evolves, he morphs. So now you know people will send you images that have sexual content. There are people that expose parts of their body, take the picture and send it to somebody. Sick. It's sick. It's sick. It's fornication. You say, but if we didn't sleep, you're using old, dated. Even Jesus said, if you look upon a woman lustfully, you have committed it in your heart. So it's a heart thing. It's not an action thing. So we need to get it from the heart level. Amen. Look at it. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not operating in him. He can dominate God's love and keep it quiet. Next verse. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Next verse. Pastor preached this some months ago. And the world passeth away, and the loss thereof. But he that doeth the will of God shall what? Abide forever. Now God knows that you're going to abide forever, because you're going to do the will of God. Amen. First, now give me James chapter 4, verse 4. We need to see the spiritual fornication, because that's the real one. It says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? That is spiritual fornication. Whosoever therefore is free will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You can't have it both ways. So what Satan does is to say that, okay, you can't stop from being born again. So you are born again, but in your will, in your mind, in your emotions, you are against God. Because the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life is dominating. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Why? In Ephesians 2:2-3, it says that there is a power in the air that is controlling men. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, is the law of sin and death. It's a law. It's being enforced. Wherein in times past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience is the fruit of it. Among whom we all had our conversation in times. So all of us were part of this. But God excites us when we got born again. Amen. But in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God changed our nature, gave us all the equipment that we need to fight this nature and flush it out of the residual nature from our soul and from our body. So we're no longer subject to this. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Give it to me in the Amplified. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved. Okay, no. Give it. Yes, Amplified. It says, beloved, I implore you as what? So you are an alien. Hello, alien. You are an alien. Say, I implore alien and stranger and exiles in this world. To what? Abstain from the sensual urges. That's the concupiscence. The evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature, that do what? Wage war. Where? Against the soul. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Message Bible. Say, live an exemplary life among the natives. Natives. The people that are walking around naked. Natives, spiritually. So that your actions will refute their prejudices. They say it's not possible. You sure it's possible? They say, a person cannot control. You control yourself. Is that a person? You are kind. How is he doing it? You refuse it. Then they will be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives. Our conduct is supposed to attract the world to us. We're not supposed to follow the world. We're supposed to rescue people that are in the world that are going to hell and bring them over to God's side and smack them out of the fire. That's the will of God for us. Okay? But we are only able to do it, by overcoming this force of iniquity that is behind all sin. And if you don't, we will walk in righteousness in Jesus' name. But if we don't, then God has a very serious punishment at the end of. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. No, give it to me in the Message Bible. Just give it to me in King James first. King James first. Give it to me in King James. Right. Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. This thing is about obedience. It's not so much about being born again, not born again. All right? That being born again is a raw material God gives us to be able to effect this obedience. Amen? Next verse. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. Including us. In thy name preach the message. It's not that. It's not about that. It's not about what you've done in his name. Next verse. Are you listening to me, brethren? As I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. So we can all be sober. Amen? And then will I profess on them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work in the power behind your life is predominantly the force of iniquity. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. The power behind our lives should be the power of godliness. Give it to me in the Message Bible. It makes it a bit more graphic and you get the sense of it immediately. From verse 21, give it to me in the Message Bible. Thank you. Need to be quick. Knowing the correct password. Saying master, master, for instance, isn't going to get you what? Anywhere with God. What is required is what? He qualified. He said, seriously, there's obedience. There is serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. This is the key. And it is when you do it that you are not walking in righteousness. When you omit to keep the law, the spiritual law, through ignorance or carelessness or rebellion, like he says, we know that's the root of spiritual fornication. Once you don't generate the power of the law of the spirit of life that makes you escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, and you are airborne, then the power of the law of sin and death, or force of iniquity, will now drag you down, and then you become subject to the things that God made you above. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the physical act of it, you know, of course, we've mentioned that, you know, it includes masturbation, it includes pornography, it includes all those people get that there is not, it's about what it is doing to us in our hearts. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 27 and 20. Jesus said it, and I want to emphasize it. Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, do not commit adultery. No, give it to me in the King James. Thank you. All right, give it to me now. Next verse. All right. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman or a man to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Amen. And that is the key here. Now, what are the consequences of that? God, if you do that, you are defiling God's temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. As we begin to close, begin to round up. I can't finish it. Okay. Verse 18 to 20. Thank you. 18 to 20. Thank you. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 to 20. Let's read it. Flee. You're not supposed to wait. Check. Assess. How close am I? Sometimes we disobey these things. We dine with the devil. We say, I'm using a long fork. You know, I'm using a long fork so you cannot get... No. The Bible said flee. If you stay with the instruction, you will get the results. Don't stay and be looking, where is it? Where is that? Where is it? You know, no. Say flee fornication. Everything that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. So you are increasing the amount of sin nature in your flesh. The amount of sin nature in your soul. You are increasing it. You are coming back to come and remove it too. But first of all, increasing it. You are going backwards to come forwards. Does that make any sense? An enemy has done this. Next verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Brethren, we are not our own. We belong to somebody. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you accepted the price he paid, you relinquished ownership of yourself. He made you. And he's rescued you. So he owns you. Lock, stock, and barrel. You have no right to think your own thoughts. No right to speak your own words. And no right to defile the temple. No right. Next verse, verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are... You cannot defile God's temple. When temple now is you, spirit, soul, body. But if you defile the heart, it's part of the temple. If you defile the body, it's part of the temple. The whole temple should be free and clean. Holy. That's what the man said, holy. And if you do that, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 17, I don't have time to turn there. He says that if you do that, him that defiles God's temple, God will destroy. God will not destroy us in Jesus' name. Amen. But he's letting you know that God is the avenger of all such. I'm not going to let it go. I will not let it go. Don't tell me that it was a mistake. Because it's very difficult to fall into sexual immorality. There is a process. It doesn't happen in one day.
as you can see, you know, it's a step. You have to set it up for it to happen. You can't do it in the marketplace. You want your heart. You can. You are doing it. But God knows, and God is correcting. But the actual physical act, you can't do that. I mean, that's even society doesn't allow for that. So you have to set things up and allow them to happen and allow yourself to be deceived. So what is God saying here? God is saying here that sexual immorality comes with punishment. It comes with punishment. And ultimately, we're not careful, we can lose our inheritance. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. Young people, God is speaking to you this morning. You know, you are the generation that is coming, and you are the generation that's going to be the spearhead for the glory of God. Amen? And if God is saying that you have to be pure, and everything to be pure, He has given to us. Amen? As a round up. Say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Next verse. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Next verse. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. God has washed us. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. Amen. And it has removed our sin, you know, and made us white as snow. Amen. And He has justified us in the name of Jesus. Amen. By faith in that name. We have right standing, and then we can receive life to be able to do right doing. He's saying, live by that. Live by it. Don't go back. Don't look at other people for your example. Look in the Word. Amen. Look in the Word for your inspiration. Look in the Word for example, and keep walking in the path of life that God has set in your path, you know, so that you keep going from one level of holiness to a higher level of holiness. Obey the instructions that God has given. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in divine love. Amen. And flee fornication. And when you do that, God will keep you from the sin that is in the world. Let us pray. Talk to God. Minds, wheels, emotions. We are bought with the price. And we are made to be holy. Everything that pertains unto life and godliness, He has made available. Through the exceeding great and precious promises. So put into motion the law of the Spirit of life. If you have, do it more diligently. Flee fornication. There are practical things you can do. Stay away from the sign of it. Once you start seeing your feelings and emotions, your thoughts go in a particular direction, that's the beginning. You flee, both physically and spiritually. Reduce contact. Avoid. Those practical things. Bible says flee. Because many strong men who thought that their strength was a guarantee were slain by her. They did not flee. David should have fled. When David saw Bathsheba baffling, He should have fled. But because he wasn't walking in the Spirit the way he wasn't at battle, wrong place. So the power to flee wasn't there. So we need to do the practical things to flee. Then we need to make sure we keep the law of that life. Dear Lord and Father of mankind, forgive our foolish ways. Reclothe us in our rightful mind, in pure lifestyle.
in deeper reverence praise. In deeper reverence praise.
Draw. Of our desire.
Breathe through the heat of our desire, thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be done, let flesh retire, speak through the earthquake.
Want God to breathe through the heat of our desire. Let sense be done. So we operate by revelation. Let flesh retire. So we dominate the flesh by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So there will be calm inside and outside. Hands on our hearts in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, showing me that sanctification, holiness, perfection is the will of God for me. It's the way that you created me to be. I understand that I am your inheritance and you are my inheritance. So I live for you. I think for you. I speak for you. I act for you. Help me, Father, to operate fervently and consistently the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus with the fear of God. So I will generate the power of God to cleanse and remove the power of the nature of sin in my vessel and to form Christ in my members so that I will live above sin, sexual immorality, perversion, fornication, and adultery in the name of Jesus. Help me, Lord, to continue to walk in this path and to act using practical steps to flee fornication so that I will lay hold upon the fullness of my inheritance in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Rabakaso sekadabaya rabakatangole jekeko baba bekelebebedi kakalebebedi yop. Rabba baba baba baba, rabba katama sekeko, reke koko koba, beke kelebebe, wabaka jaka jobaka, rabba baba baba, jeka ba, beke layan, ramebeyan, rede de bote, bele levaya, rabo bale, bele, rabba baba 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 kaka kulebebadi kaka kelebebadiya, ramaniyado. Beleya, Rebo, Bele, Selelebeya, Ramba Beleya, Jeko Bate Kosala, Rine Bele Leba Dupoto, Mekalebabadia, Bele Papa Baye, Roba Katasala, Bileyan, Renabosa, Bele Lebeya Namaya, Rande Bede Namaya. In Jesus' name. Now God said to tell you, walk in the liberty that Christ has set you free. You're free from those habits, whatever it is, those secret things. God says he has broken that yoke in Jesus' name. Now walk in the liberty by walking in the Spirit.